Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Friends, these are difficult days and many people are hurting. There's pain and anger, fear and frustration, strong emotion and confusion. Where do we turn for comfort and direction? In Psalm 61 and Psalm 62, these are some verses that speak through the millennia that our safety and our refuge, the place to look for justice, the place to look for truth, is in the Lord. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O God, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. May God help us to rest in Him. If you have a specific prayer request and you'd like for us to join you in bringing it to the Lord, call us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's 866-41-ABIDE. And we'll be glad to take your prayer requests and lift it up before the throne of God. Folks, yesterday we talked about 2 Kings chapter 5, a man named Naaman. And in that story, there were a lot of things that are as current as can be. I hope that you heard yesterday's broadcast. If you didn't, you can get it online. Here's just a little bit of what we said yesterday. Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he waited at the door of Elisha's house. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him. Naaman is upset. This is disrespect. He is a commander. He may have leprosy, and that's a serious problem. But he's still the commander of the army of Aram. And he's got a letter from the king, and he's already been to see Israel's king. Who does this prophet think he is? Let me tell you something. The prophet is working for somebody who is way above the king of Israel and the king of Aram. He is the king of the universe, king of kings and lord of lords. He's the boss of bosses. That's who Elisha works for, and Elisha does what his boss says. And so he sends a message because that's what God told him to do. And the message isn't, "I'd like to help you, but I'm busy." The message is, "Go to the Jordan River and wash yourself in the river, going down under the water 7 times, and you'll be healed." That is the word of the Lord from Elisha to Naaman. And Naaman is mad. He's mad because he feels he's been disrespected. He made this long journey. He's got all these gifts. He's got an entourage.
And he expects, having met with the king, he certainly expects that Elisha is going to come out and there's going to be pleasantries and you know, there's going to be respect shown to him. And he said, and I thought he would wave his hand over the spot and heal me. Have you ever had in your mind a picture of how God ought to do things? Or how somebody else ought to do things for God? Have you ever had in your head, this is what the preacher ought to say, or this is what the preacher ought to do, or this is what my teacher ought to do, or whatever. You got this in your head, this is what you're expecting, and it doesn't go the way you expected. And so now you're mad. And you're not willing to do what they say because they haven't lived up to your expectations. You don't feel they've treated you with respect. And so you're not going to respect their word. You're not going to do what you're told. That was Naaman's mistake. And fortunately, he had some officers with him, and they said, if the prophet had told you some difficult thing you have to do, go to that mountain and crawl up to the top of it on your knees. If it had been something really difficult, wouldn't you have done it? He hasn't asked you to do something difficult. You see, the problem was not the task. The problem was Naaman's pride.
All right, let's conclude now the message from 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman.
You should remember the story referred to in John chapter 3 from the Old Testament during the Exodus. When the people of God had rebelled against God and God had sent poisonous snakes among them and they'd bitten them and people were sick and dying as a result. And in the midst of the plague, God told Moses to make a brass pole with the image of a serpent on it and put that where the people could see it and anyone who looked at it would live. And everyone who looked lived. But the way that's phrased, it makes it clear. There were those who refused to look. They would not look. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on him. Call upon his name and you will be saved. Look and live. And yet there are multitudes of people, including many people in churches, who refuse to look to Jesus for their salvation. They are too busy trying to do it themselves. They think, if I can just do this, if I just do this, I'm going to stop doing that and start doing this, because they think salvation is something we earn. They think it's something we accomplish. It is what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. Look and live. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Have you trusted in Jesus? I believed intellectually when I was a young child, but it came to a point of suddenly realizing I had never really trusted him and responded asking him to save me. So, man, I did. I prayed and I asked him to have mercy on me, to forgive my sins, and come into my heart, save me. And he did. You know how I know he did? Because he said he would. And he always does what he promises. So, Naaman went to the River Jordan because of the encouragement of others. And there may be some folks that you can encourage to do the right thing. He went down to the Jordan River, verse 14, and he dipped himself seven times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child's, and he was healed. Naaman went down to the river and he dipped himself. Once. Twice. Three times. Four times. I don't see any difference. This isn't helping. If you want to experience the blessings that God promises, you not only need to obey, but persevere in obedience. You need to keep on doing what God said, because the outcome at the end of the journey is exactly what God promised. But along the way, you may not see the results you hope for. People may disappoint you. Things may not go your way. You may feel a little like Job in the Old Testament. You've been seeking to do what God commands, and everything's falling apart, as it did in Job's life. Keep on obeying. Keep on obeying. Keep on obeying. 7 times Naaman went under the water. And this was a guy who didn't know the Lord. He did not know. But when he came up the 7th time, his skin was completely healed. And it was like that of a young child. Then Naaman and his entire party went back to find the man of God. They stood before him. See, this time Elisha comes and meets with him, because he's done what he was told to do. And Elisha is doing what God told him to do. And Naaman said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts." And though Naaman urged him to take the gift, Elisha refused. Why? Because Elisha was an extremely proud man. No. Because Elisha already had so much wealth, he didn't know what to do with it, and so what's he going to do with some more? Nope. "Surely as the Lord lives whom I serve." Elisha was doing what the Lord told him. Why would his predecessor, Elijah, order water poured over the place where he's wanting to offer a sacrifice to God on Mount Carmel? Why would he do that? He explains it after that happens. When he prays, he says, "Lord, please now send fire and demonstrate that all these things I've done were because you told me to." That's the secret to the miracles. They ask Jesus in the New Testament, "Where do you get the authority to do the things you do?" Jesus says, "I only do what the Father shows me. I only say what the Father tells me." The basis of the power of the Holy Spirit manifested in all these miracles is obedience. God will honor his word. And so, Naaman tries to get Elisha to accept some of these gifts. Now, what did he have? 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, 10 sets of clothing. I mean, it's payday. We can retire now. And Elisha says no, because God said no. So Naaman said, "All right, but please allow me to load 2 of my mules with earth from this place, and I'll take it back home with me. And from now on, I'll never again offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any other god except the Lord." Now, why does he want bags of dirt to take home with him? Because he still was operating from an ignorant pagan mindset. If you grow up serving demons, then you think that that demon only has power in certain spheres. It may be the god of this, the god of that. They had gods of fertility. They had gods of all kinds of things. And they were territorial gods. They had gods of the valley and gods of the mountains, because demons are finite. They didn't understand about demons. They thought they were gods. But the Bible says, although an idol in and of itself is nothing, there are demons behind the idol. And that's why you have all of those different gods in all those primitive religions. But God was God in Aram as well. Naaman didn't understand what the text has already made clear, and that is that his military success, even his military success in attacking Israel, his military success was because the Lord had given it to him.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over 12 books?
We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are
folks, whatever success you have, even if you refuse to recognize it, comes from the Lord. The atheist who successfully publishes a book attacking the truth of God's word is given his success by God. The vicious, horrible people who do vicious, horrible things cannot take another breath apart from God saying yes. Well, why does God allow evil? I do not fully understand, but I understand this. Nobody can say unfair. Because if we all got what we deserve, it would be hell, not just the sufferings of this life. Keep that in mind when we see what happened to Gehazi. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, "My master should not have let this Aramean get away without accepting any of his gifts. As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him." That's taking the Lord's name in vain. He is going to disobey his master because he didn't like what the Lord had told his master to do. And so just as Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept any gifts." He says, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him." What was the difference? He left out the most important part. "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve." Why? Because he wasn't serving the Lord. He worked for the prophet of God, but he served himself. He had his own agenda. He wanted to do his own thing. And so Gehazi runs after Naaman. Naaman sees him and stops and gets out and goes to him and says, "Is everything all right?" "Yes," Gehazi said, "but my master has sent me." Did you hear that phrase? That is an absolute lie. "My master has sent me. I am acting in obedience to my master." No, he wasn't. He's a liar. "My master has sent me to tell you that two young prophets from the hill country of Ephraim have just arrived, and he would like 75 pounds of silver and two sets of clothing to give to them." Now, or 750. He just wanted a tenth. He's not asking for the whole thing. He didn't say, "Hey, he changed his mind, we want it all." He says, "Oh, look, just a tenth of the silver you brought. And you can keep the gold. That's fine. And we don't need 10 sets of clothes. Just two is fine. That's good. That's good. My closet isn't that big." And so Gehazi says, "Oh, I'll give you more than that. I'll give you twice as much silver as you ask for." And he gave him two sets of clothing, and he tied up the money in two bags, and he sent two of his servants to carry the gifts. When they arrived at the citadel, Gehazi took the gifts from the servants and sent the men back. He says, "I'll take it from here." And then he went and hid the gifts inside the house. And he thought he got away with it. But he hadn't. And let me tell you, you never will. You never will. You may think that nobody saw, but the prophet of God saw when Naaman got out of the chariot to meet him. Well, what, was he standing on a balcony or something? No, he was there in his spirit. God revealed it to him. You say, "Well, that's weird. I don't understand about such things." Well, this is the word of God. This is the way it works. Spiritual realities are greater than most people can comprehend. But the prophet saw, and the prophet now declares what God has said. "Because you've done this, You and your descendants will suffer from Naaman's leprosy forever. And when Gehazi left the room, he was covered in leprosy. His skin was white as snow. Why did his family suffer? Just as surely as God enabled the prophet to see what was happening, when physically there was not a way to do it, spiritually he could see it. Just as surely as that is true, God knew something about Gehazi's descendants. And that is that every single one of them would not only have leprosy, but every single one of them would be a sinner. I would hate to have leprosy. But if I had leprosy, I certainly couldn't say unfair. I certainly couldn't say, I don't deserve this. I deserve worse. If I got what I deserve, I would go to hell. But if I grew up with a problem that I'd inherited, and it caused me to find out that the God who is God demands obedience, and it put the fear of God in me so that I wanted to please him instead of living for myself, and I heard the story about my father or my grandfather or my great-grandfather who was supposedly to serve the prophet of God and instead decided to serve himself and to lie in order to do it. And if that caused me to say, I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to serve myself. I want to serve the Lord like Elisha did. Then that leprosy would be a mercy. I don't know what you're suffering. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. All of our problems in this life are temporary. All of us are going to die. The question is how and when, and most importantly, what's next? You're going to spend forever in heaven or in hell. And what you went through in this life, and how you died and when you died, will pale in significance compared to where you spend forever. This life is short. If you live 120 years, that's a flash compared to eternity. I plead with you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call out to him and ask him to save you. Do what he says, and that is to trust him while you have the opportunity. Trust him and obey. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing grace. We pray that you would mercifully draw us to yourself and deliver us from evil. We have no hope apart from you, but we thank you that you are a great and gracious God, and we pray that you would mercifully deliver us from evil. Heal us, we pray, not just our bodies, but heal our broken lives, relationships with others, relationship with you, most importantly. And thank you that you do still heal bodies and relationships, and that you save eternally all who call upon you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.